That's right. So if you P1s have anything you want to share that's just rattling around your noggin, email rentfree1310@gmail.com. And Craig is our broadcast leader, and I'm very curious what might be living rent-free in your brain, Junes.
Well, this has been ongoing for about the last 2 years, and it happens all the time, but in particular when I'm riding my bicycle, because that's a very rhythmic activity. Pedal, 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 pedal.
Turn, so it, turn, break, turn, turn. Break.
So it lends itself to a song being stuck in your head. And for about the past 2 years, since our daughter discovered this and watches it nonstop, the entire Frozen soundtrack has been living rent-free in my head, mainly when I'm riding my bike, but also just walking around the house, driving a car, walking this afternoon. I was touring New Orleans by foot and by streetcar, and I hear, "Do you want to build a snowman?
Do you want to build a snowman?"
The first time in forever.
Ticket stop.
Just every single song on that soundtrack, and they rotate.
Sounds like you can't let it go.
Let it go, let it go. Yes, all of those. So that is currently what is living rent-free in my brain.
Is that a good movie for... Because I've never seen it. I don't have kids. It was after my time.
It is a good,
I've heard a couple of those songs. And I'm like,
it is good.
It is a good movie.
I like it.
Yeah.
And I've watched it now about 10,000 times.
Frozen 1 and 2 are both quite good Disney movies.
I've heard the book's better.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. More of a book guy.
Well, you're highbrow,
Yeah.
Or... is there a Mickey Mouse Clubhouse a thing? Because I know the hot dog dance song, that was living rent-free in my head for a good few years when Lily Jane was tiny.
Yes.
Hot dog, hot diggity dog.
Yes, that is definitely a thing. And that was in my brain, too, for a short while. But it's mainly Frozen. I told you guys I was listening to this segment a couple weeks back, and a P1 had something I had said like 20 years ago that was still living rent-free in his head about Elin Nordgren being... I supposedly said sweet and clean down there or something,
something
like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And I have no memory of saying that. Not saying I didn't. Sounds like something I could have said, but I thought that was funny.
And there's no drop or anything of it either, was there? It was just like a fly-by comment you made 20 years ago.
Right.
Like there's no proof you actually said that.
Right.
He could have just, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I could see him making that, see him saying that.
But that was around the time where... many ticket historians call it Junior's descent into madness.
Yes.
Because you used to be more of a straight-laced, polished broadcaster, and the longer you've been a muser, you've just gone off the deep end. And that was around the tipping point time, so that makes sense to me.
And I had to do that to cope with the job, to cope with the stresses of the job. I had to go a little mad.
I feel you, dog. I feel
all the drugs and alcohol involved in the industry.
Yes.
Just drives you crazy.
All right, let's get to some P1s who have... sent in some emails. Let's start with P1 Mitch. He says, sweet spot.
Midge?
No, Mitch. Oh. I know playing What If Hypotheticals won't bring Luka back, but I am curious about two scenarios. One, what if the Mavs had done the improbable last year and knocked off Boston and won an NBA title? Would Nico still have traded Luka? Two, what if Luka didn't get hurt on Christmas? What if the Mavs had been rolling for the past 6 weeks, maybe sitting top three, top four in the West? Would Nico still have traded Luka? I've been asking myself these two questions since the trade, and I'd be interested in y'all's thoughts, P1 Mitch. And we have Basketball Junes with us, so I think this is a very appropriate question.
Boy, those are both great hypotheticals. I think, number one, if they win the title last year, there is no way he trades Luka. But I didn't think before last Saturday there was any way he would trade Luka regardless. But you couldn't trade him fresh off a title. I would say that would greatly lessen the chances. The second scenario, they're just, say, 3-4 in the West. I think he still trades him.
Man, even getting that close to winning a title, I feel like that's harder to trade a guy. Because you were right there. You were 3 wins away from running a title. I think he gets traded no matter what.
But with the, I guess, the radio silence over the summer and Luka having his own training specialist... and then now you have this calf injury that's lingered for so long. That probably, that was a burr under Nico's saddle.
Yeah.
So I think that definitely contributed because he's like, well, he's hurt now. His body's only going to go one way. Mm-hmm. Let's just go ahead and, you know, do this. But, yeah, if he wins a championship last year, that completely flies in the face of Nico's thought that Luka being, quote, out of shape or condition. Like, you've won a championship.
Yeah.
It proves he can do it.
Right.
And I heard you guys play the Shaq stuff this morning, and
yeah,
some dudes are just big-boned. You know, some dudes are just yeah. hefty. Sometimes metabolism slowed down.
And it is weird, David, you're right, trading him after getting to the finals, but coming up short. But we've seen that before, like in football, the Rams got to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff and decided mm-hmm. we can't take that next step with him and traded him. Now, Goff isn't a generational right. player like right. Luka, so it's a little different, but we've kind of seen it before.
I think it happens no matter what. It just feels like Nico was just so dead set on trading him to the Lakers with Pelinka really wanting him mm-hmm. and what the Mavericks got back, nothing against AD. Like I've said all week, it's so fair. It's so unfair to Anthony Davis. Like, you're getting a really good player. And the Mavericks actually sent out a second round pick also? Or did they?
Yeah.
They sent out another pick. Like,
Utah got a couple twos, right?
Yeah. The Mavs got a first, but sent out a second.
Like, Nico approaching the Lakers for this trade and what he wanted at the beginning, and Pelinka actually working it down.
Yes, is amazing.
Like, what if he would have said more? Like, okay, throw in Maxey, throw in Markieff Morris. What if you give us Gafford also? Then we'll do the deal.
Yeah, did you ever imagine that trading Luka to some team, you would also have to include draft picks?
It's incredible.
It really is.
Like, the first package that you present doesn't work enough where you're trading a generational player that's 25.
I don't want to be bummed out, so let's move on to
yes,
Grant.
Yes, let's please move on.
He won Grant. He sent this in last week. He says, so the honeycomb monster lives rent-free in my head. I recently had a vivid dream where I was duct-taped to a wall and that wheels-off creature entered the room to shouts and insults at me while going berserk. 99% of people under 25 don't know who I'm talking about when I mention the honeycomb monster. Love this segment. Thanks, boys. Stay sexy. Grant.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite understand it, too, but then, Mino, you jogged my memory.
Yeah.
Apparently, the cereal honeycomb, which, Junes, I know you like your sugary cereals growing
oh, yeah.
up. I loved honeycomb. I guess I missed this, but
he
apparently
was everywhere on TV.
Yeah, I guess I missed it. I don't know. They had an ad campaign of the honeycomb monster, which is this furry little creature, and this is a short example.
Someday you'll be taking a spelling test. A real no-brainer. When suddenly... Whoa! There'll be no stopping it!
You honeycomb! Me want honeycomb! Honeycomb sweet and crunchy! It's toasted honey!
Hey! Honey!
Toasted honey! Honeycomb!
Whoa! Is there something you want, young man?
Yeah! Honeycomb!
Post honeycomb cereal is part of this nutritious breakfast.
It was like a gremlin mixed
yeah.
with a Muppet.
Yeah. I haven't thought about that in probably 25 years. Honeycomb, honeycomb, me want honeycomb. Yeah, as a kid, I was like, oh yeah, it's a honeycomb monster.
And Saturday morning cartoons, I guess they're still a thing, but it's not what it was.
Right.
But you had Toucan Sam, you had the honey bear, all of those commercials were so effective on young me.
Tony the Tiger.
That I would beg and plead with my dad to get us a sugary cereal that wasn't just either mini wheats or cornflakes.
Yeah.
Just generic cereal.
Do we have new cereals? Or they've all been around
Mark.
Since? Like, are there new types of cereals?
Yeah, there's new flavors
like
or variations that they put out there.
There must be, but I don't know about the kids' cereal market. Ooh. Like, are there new monsters with Count Chocula and Frankenberry?
There's got to be. There's got to be.
Booberry.
What was your favorite sugary cereal as a kid?
Seriously, I honestly don't know how I grew up because all I ate was sugary cereals as a kid. And I rotated my favorite. Every 4 months, I would jump to a new one. But, I mean, I went through them all the Frankenberry, Booberry, Count Choculas, Frosted Flakes, Fruity Pebbles, Cocoa Pebbles. I mean, every single one of them, I couldn't get enough.
Do you still eat cereal from time to time?
Yeah, but now it's like granola.
Yeah.
You know, occasionally a bowl of Cheerios or something, but not too often.
What about
so I just Googled
ones?
New cereals.
Yes.
And two that I see popped up are Apple Jack's Glazed Donut Holes.
Ham.
And then Cinnamon Toast Crunch Birthday Cake Loaded. So they're just tricking up the ones that we already know.
Those are still some OG ones.
What's a loaded birthday cake?
It looks like just cereal. A bunch of little birthday cake bite pieces in there.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
It looks gross.
Interested. Well, speaking of groceries, P1 Adam emails in, being a middle school age kid, getting into a tinkling match was a daily occurrence, and this particular day it was about how strong we were. My friend Gilbert then rattled off that he was really strong because he could lift all the groceries when his mom brought them home. Now being 37 years old and slightly out of shape myself, anytime my wife orders groceries, I try to grab every bag I can. And I think of my childhood buddy Gilbert, and I consider myself very strong because I can grab a ton. Grocery bags sitting on the front porch. We order ours online and have them delivered. And all of a sudden, it's the world's strongest man competition for this middle-aged man. My good friend Gilbert and his comment lives rent-free every time we order groceries. Thanks for all your courage.
That's funny.
Adam. I do that, too. When Jenny comes home with groceries, I try to get every single bag in one go.
Yeah, when I'm bagging the groceries at the grocery store, if I'm getting a lot, I like to go through the line and have the person bag it for me. Yeah. But if it's just a few things and I'm bagging it, I think of the scene from Home Alone when he's walking back and the bottom just falls out of it and the groceries go everywhere. Like I feel like I'm going to do that because I'm stacking them wrong or I'm putting too much in one bag.
Yeah, if you're carrying, like you, John, try to get them all. If you're carrying three bags in one hand, two in the other, and you start to sense that one of them is ripping, that's full-scale panic.
Yeah. And we have, like, reusable grocery bags, and the fabric will just start, like, digging into your fingers as you're just trying to get all of them back into the house.
Uh-huh.
So, good job, Adam. All right, let's do one more here. This one is from Matt, and Matt wants to talk about the whole shoddy shoddy situation. He says, "Greetings, Mino, and slightly more attractive Liam Cohen." I guess that's me. Every time I hear Schottenheimer called shoddy, I can't help but think about the old bad radio open drop with the guys yelling shoddy back and forth, barking at each other. It was probably recorded here at the Super Bowl one year, but he's not sure. Anyway, I remember Groobs used to jump in and start barking, so of course for the next 30 minutes or so, all I can hear in my brain is that little Muppet voice saying, "Rough, rough." Can't complain because it brings back great memories of the OG drop artist. Thanks to all you do to your bodies, P1 Matt. Do we have the, I believe this was the Two Live Stews, I want to say?
Yeah.
We're in the tent right next to the Two Live Stews.
Tom Gribble is standing by with the wireless microphone, our reporter on the scene.
Lights!
Cameras!
Action!
You're in the dark! This is the place where the real players play, the Low Country's finest, the Pitbull Brothers, and the Monk's Corner Connection!
Yep.
The Sporting News Radio Brothers, the Burton Finn Brothers, the Black Men Revealed Brothers, do not miss the show on Sunday, as well as the Tom Joyner Morning Show Brothers. Whatever you do, sit back, relax, and enjoy this Tabloid Tuesday.
That's right.
On Sporting News Radio with the Two Live Stews.
Shorty.
I got a question for you.
What? How you feeling today, Bob?
Good. Okay, so Junes, after 30 years of doing the Courage Boys, would you guys ever pivot to something wild-ass and wacky like that to start your show?
It's 6 a.m.
Yeah, it's
the show's starting a little bit later.
Now you have more rest, you have more energy, so you can just really ramp it up.
I mean, if we decided that we were just tremendously bored and it was the only way to keep going, I think we could do that. Take a page from what I always thought was really funny, Two Live Stews. Funny name. Although I think broadcasting like that would just wear you out.
Yeah, you would too.
Like you'd have it for like 5 minutes. You can't keep that energy through the whole show.
No way.
It has to go up and down. But we did. So the table behind us,
dude. You want to talk about East Coast blowhardisms?
Really loud.
Oh my gosh!
Because it was the two tables behind us.
Yeah.
I think it's
the Ringer, but I'm not sure something. Who it was.
We sat at the prep table. And they're talking about the New York Yankees.
Yeah, they're like mad at Brian
Cashman.
Going
off on
Brian Cashman. Just scream. Like, so much so that Donovan, sitting where you are, like, turned around.
It's like, the
mid-segment, was like, what are they doing?
They're so worked up about that, and pitchers and catchers haven't even reported.
I know. But just you wait.
Almost.
Just you wait. Junior, thank you for joining us for Rent Free.
Thank you for having me.
Feel free to stick around.
Feel free to have a donut.
Oh, yeah,
there's donuts
you.
On the table.
Did you make those?
I did. Yes, nice. Got up early. For